Thank you. Praise the Lord, everyone.
Praise the Lord.
Well, it's good to be here tonight. We're going to be singing for a little while, of course, as we always do, and then we'll have our Bible study. But before we do anything, we're going to pray, so we're going to do that right now. Father in heaven, we come before thee in prayer this night, thanking thee for thy goodness and thy mercy, thanking thee that thou hast given us yet another opportunity to come together and worship thee, to sing thy praises. For we know, O God, that these opportunities are such a blessing and such an honor to be here in thy presence. And I pray, Lord, that thou hast do a work in our hearts here tonight. Inspire us, O God, to sing unto thee, to truly worship thee in spirit and in truth. And I pray, Lord, that everything we do here tonight would be done according to thy perfect will and to thy glory and to thy honor. I ask that thou preside over this entire service tonight. I pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight we're going to start by singing a psalm. That's a wonderful thing to do. And a very fitting psalm to sing, to start with, I think, is number 169. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Number 169. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing, I will sing, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord with my mouth. Of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord with my mouth. Of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord with my mouth. Faith in that chorus, the knowledge that the psalmist will be praising and worshiping the Lord forever. Glory to God. And we're going to do that same thing. Praise the Lord. Well, why not sing another psalm? Let's go to number 40 and sing, Great is the Lord. Great is the Lord. Sing 44, give unto the Lord.
Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory to his name. Worship the
Sometimes we feel the heaviness of this world we're in. We see all of the things around us that are happening, and sometimes it doesn't feel very good to read the news. But I tell you what, when you get in the presence of the Lord and you start worshiping the Lord, He takes that heaviness away. When we're in His Spirit and we are filled with the joy of the Lord, why don't we go to number 124 and sing the Garment of Praise? Number 124.
Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Pray in the Spirit and with understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord. of praise for the Spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. Praise the Spirit and understanding. Oh, magnify the Lord.
Praise the Lord. God, you know, it seems like we don't sing that one very often, but maybe we should. It's such a wonderful chorus. Praise the Lord. And we do need our Lord so very much. We need Jesus each and every day. You know, we wouldn't be able to get along without Him. We would just be lost and floundering around, but praise the Lord, He is with us. Why don't we go to number 84 and sing, I Need Jesus, number 84.
I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him in the sunshine hour. I need Him when the storm clouds lower, every day along life's way. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. The storm clouds lower every day along life's way. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus every day. I need Him when the storm clouds lower, every day along life's way. I need Jesus.
Yes, we need Jesus. Why don't we go to number 91 and sing without Him? Number 91.
Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I'd surely fail. Without ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Without Him, I could do nothing. Without Him, I surely fail. Without Him, I would be drifting like a ship without a sail. Lord Jesus, abide with me as I travel life's rugged sea, and make my life what it ought to be. Lord Jesus, abide with me. Praise the Lord.
Would be so helpless without Him, but God has this way of taking our lives and completely changing everything around. You know, some people you might look at and think, oh, there's no way that person could ever be saved, but look what He did with the Apostle Paul, how He rescued him, and there's nothing too hard for the Lord, and you just never quite know who He might reach out to, but He did take our lives, all of the confusion, all the brokenness, and He made something beautiful out of our lives. So why don't we go to that chorus, number 5, and sing Something Beautiful, Something Good, number 5.
Something beautiful, something good, all of Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful out of me. Something beautiful, something good. Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer Him was brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Something beautiful, something good. All of my confusion, Jesus understood. All I had to offer brokenness and strife, but He made something very beautiful of my life. Praise the Lord.
Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Oh, His power to change us, to make us new. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do is take up the collection right now. Father in heaven, we come before Thee this night, thanking Thee, O God, that Thou hast brought us here, that Thou hast given us this opportunity to come before Thee and worship Thee. And we thank Thee for this opportunity to give back from all that Thou hast given us, for Thy many blessings. And I pray, Lord, that Thou hast continued to use this ministry, to use this church, to guide and direct us. Give us the wisdom we need on how these funds should be used for Thy purpose, for Thy glory, for Thy will, for the cause of Thy mighty and holy name. And I pray, Lord, that Thou hast blessed the givers here tonight, and also bless those who are unable to give. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, there's a song which has just been on, it's been in my head all day, and I'm not even sure why, but we're going to go ahead and sing it. And we're going to go to the hymnals now. I need to just check and make sure I have the right number. Yes, it's number 293. Take the name of Jesus with you. And we're just going to go ahead and sing this song before we get started in the Word here tonight. Number 293 in the hymnal. Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give. Then where you go, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Take the name of Jesus ever as a shield from every snare. If temptations round you gather, breathe that holy name in prayer. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Oh, the precious name of Jesus, how it thrills
souls with joy. When His loving arms receive us, and His songs our tongues employ, precious name, oh how sweet, over earth and joy of heaven, precious name, oh how sweet, over earth and joy of heaven. At the name of Jesus bowing, falling prostrate at His feet, King of kings in heaven will crown Him when our journey is complete. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Precious name, oh how sweet, hope of earth and joy of heaven. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. And we do know that Jesus is our only hope. He's the only hope this world has. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to be getting started in the Word momentarily, but I do see that we do have a prayer request here, which I will go ahead and pray for before we have Shirley get up here. And this is for a man named Ben Greenleaf and his family. Ben, actually many years ago, he was dating my sister Becky, and of course we didn't always get along real well with him back then, but we do know him, and apparently he has been in a motorcycle accident and is now in a coma. So we're going to go ahead and pray for him and pray for his family. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer this night on behalf of Ben Greenleaf, praying, Lord, that Thou wouldst reach out to him from heaven, Lord. I know not of his spiritual state, but I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst reach down, and I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst talk to his heart, even as he's there in that coma. And I pray, Lord, that if it be Thy will, Thou wouldst work a great miracle, and that I pray, Lord, that he would have a complete recovery, O God, if it be Thy will. I ask, Lord, again, that Thou wouldst speak to his heart, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that he would feel Thy presence and reach out to Thee even in his state. And I pray, Lord, that Thou wouldst guide and direct him, Lord, even in this their terrible condition he is in, but inspire him to reach out to Thee. For we know that Thou art our healer, our deliverer, our wonder-working God, and we know that nothing is too hard for Thee. And we ask, O God, that Thy perfect will would be done. And we pray for his family, Lord, that Thou wouldst comfort them in this difficult time. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, to the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, from here we will turn it over to Shirley and see what she has to say tonight. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. You know, I don't see my glasses at the moment. I know I washed them before church.
Oh, maybe these are. Here it is. It kind of slipped on here. Thank you, dear. I can wait without them. But it's easier with them, so let's do it. Thank you, Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. You know, it is very startling when you hear, you know, something like this thing Sam just mentioned with Ben Greenleaf. I tell you what, you know, you just never know with life. It's so precious. And the Lord gives us opportunities. And I think so often people don't realize how precious they are. These moments that He gives us. You just never know sometimes, you know, you pass by somebody and you may only pass by them that once. It may be their only, you know, possibility in finding the Lord. We just don't know. It is, you know, every moment is really very precious. And wow, to just, you know, be filled with the zeal of the Lord so that we can go forward and accomplish the things that we need to accomplish in Him. Why, you know, it just is so serious. Sometimes the Lord, you know, gives space to repent. You can see that often. You know, you don't like to see anybody linger through illnesses and, you know, go through all kinds of those kind of situations and all that kind of trouble. But, you know, it would be opportunity in that case for them to think about the Lord. But sometimes it's like, you know, life just goes like that, a snap of a finger. And you know, wow, all I know is we need to listen while we can. We need to give heed while we can and do the will of the Lord while we can. And you know, if we haven't given our lives to the Lord, there's no reason to delay. There's no reason to procrastinate and put it off. You know, you may not have another 10 years. You may not have another year. You may not have another day. We just don't know. That's how life can change, how everything can change in such a moment of time, just in a second. Oh my, it's just very, very sobering. But praise the Lord, we do know one who can do miracles. You know, we never know what the Lord might do and how He might use such moments and such occasions. And we never can limit God because He is the Almighty One. What He did when He was on this earth, He can still do today. There is no reason to doubt that. And we can praise the Lord for that. But, oh wow, it's very sobering indeed. Praise the Lord. Let's go before the Lord in prayer again here. Talk to the Lord a minute here. We thank You, Heavenly Father. Oh Lord, for Your goodness, Your mercy, Your kindnesses to us. Oh, Lord, we just know that truly we could do nothing without You, Lord. Oh, God, You're the giver of life. And, God, we know there's a moment that this life ceases, Lord. And, oh, God, oh, Lord, it behooves us, Lord, to be right in Thy sight. And, oh, Lord, to get our house in order, Lord, to do the things that please You, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, oh, God, that You minister to our hearts tonight, Lord, that You talk to us, oh, Lord, that You'd help us, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord, oh, Jesus. We can do nothing without You, God. I just pray that You would minister to those online, that You minister to those in the pew here, Lord, those that would listen to this recording at some later date, Lord. I pray that You'd minister to the hearts. And, oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that You'd wake up the sleeping ones. Oh, God, You talk to them who never really gotten to that place where they could surrender their hearts to Thee. Oh, God, I pray, oh, Lord, that You would move mightily. Oh, God, that You'd change us. Oh God, that you put faith in us, Lord. And oh God, that overcoming power and strength, oh Lord, that ability, oh Lord, to have faith in the midst of great darkness. Oh God, in a world that's gone amok, oh so largely, Lord. But here we are, God, you put us here on this earth at this time for this moment. I pray, oh God, that you would, oh, talk to our hearts, oh God, that you get us ready, Lord, oh God, and oh, I pray that you'd bind this strong man in every hindering spirit, and everything that would seek to oppose, God. Oh God, we come before you knowing that we could do nothing without you, Lord, that need to abide in you, and you and us, oh Lord, oh God, to always seek thy face, always be in that position, Lord, where we could call upon thee at any given moment, oh Lord, oh God, knowing that it is well with our soul, Lord. I pray that you talk tonight, Lord Jesus, oh God, that you minister to us, oh God, that you give us what we have need of, Lord, oh God, for we stand in want, we stand in need here tonight, and oh God, I pray, oh God, that you talk, you give us faith, oh Lord, that you bind the strong man, every work of opposition, Lord, every opposing spirit, every devil, oh Lord, oh God, that it be bound, oh God, and restricted, oh God, and we give it all to you in Jesus' name, oh God, asking you to loosen faith in our hearts, and the joy of the Holy Ghost, oh Lord, and the ability to claim thy promises, Lord, oh God, to get to that higher ground, oh Lord, to worship you in spirit and in truth, oh Lord, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Oh God, I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord. Pray that you loosen us, Lord, from our lethargy, Lord. Oh God, loosen us, oh Lord, from procrastination and things, oh God, that we put on the side, oh God. Loosen us, oh Lord, God, from anything, oh Lord, of arrogance and pride, oh Lord, that would distract us and hinder us. Oh God, let the strong man be bound. In the name of Jesus, oh God, we come to you, Lord, in Jesus' name, seeking your favor and your face. Oh, Lord Jesus, oh, Lord, oh, God, minister tonight. Oh, God, I put this in thy hands and ask for thy help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, praise God. We're going to go to John, the 15th chapter tonight, and by his grace, cover this chapter. We'll call it Abiding in Him, Abiding in Him. And I do marvel a lot of times the songs that we sing with our worship just always seem like they go along with what God has put in my heart here. And oh, what a wonderful thing it is to know the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Chapter 15 of the book of John. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Okay, here we go. Praise the Lord. Jesus is talking here. It's one of his last instructional messages before he's in Gethsemane. And very important here as he's talking to those that he loved and those that he ministered to, his precious disciples. But he begins by saying, I am the true vine. My Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. It says, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Let's just talk about this portion here for a moment. It's talking indeed about a very close relationship with the Lord and the need to be in Jesus Christ. If we take the word abide, it means to remain, stay, reside, to be close. And you know, it's just very wonderful when you think about this. This is our Savior talking to us here in this scripture. And, you know, he was the King of Glory. He was the Lord of Lords. You know, he was God manifested in the flesh. And, you know, he didn't have to come to this world and put on flesh. He didn't have to go to the cross and bear our sins. But he did. He did, and there was a great desire. We know that Adam and Eve had lost that close relationship with the Lord when sin entered into the world. But Jesus Christ came back as a restorer to give us that back, that relationship that we could have with him. And here, he's talking about that need to abide in him, to be close. And you see here the very great essentiality of it. Here he talks about how he is the true vine, and you know, there's none other, there's only one. It's the Lord Jesus. His father is a husbandman. And he talks about this element here, that every branch that is in Christ Jesus that doesn't bear fruit is taken away. Just simple basics he's telling us here. And then he's saying every branch that bears fruit, he's going to do something, just as we prune trees and shrubs quite often in the fall, so that hopefully when they come back in the spring, they'll be more bountiful. They'll bear more fruit if they're a fruit tree, or you know, they'll have more branches, and or they'll grow just more appropriately. But here it tells us that our Heavenly Father does the same thing. If we're in Christ and we're bearing fruit, he's going to purge us, it tells us here, that it may bring forth more fruit. It's a pruning process that he's talking about here, because there's something that he does require of his people, and that is the need to bear fruit. I mean, it's either one way or the other from the second verse here in this chapter. Either you don't bear any fruit and you're taken away, or you bear fruit, he purges you, and you bear more fruit. And he tells us that we're clean through the Word. Oh, this wonderful Word of God that speaks to our soul and gives us, you know, the knowledge that we need so that we can be in Christ. And then he says in verse 4, that need to abide in me and I in you, again repeating it. It must be very important. He's repeating it again, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself. If, you know, you're just who you are and you're not in Christ, there's not going to be any fruit. Not the fruit he's talking about. It's going to be impossible. And the great need here is emphasized that you must abide, that you must stay, that you must reside in the vine. And again, no more can he except you abide in me. So we see the point here, that need to be in Christ Jesus. The need to stay close, the need to listen, oh my, the need to give heed, all of these things. He explains, verse 5, I'm the vine, again, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. It's you know, it's a given. If we're really in the Lord Jesus, if we're really listening to him, if we've really surrendered our will to the Lord, and if we're really doing his will, we're going to bring forth fruit. And he says, much fruit, much fruit. And then he says, and this we know, for without me ye can do nothing. Oh, I like it. We sang that song tonight, didn't we? But it's just a fact. We have to be in Christ. You know, he's our all in all. He's the one that makes a way for us. He's the one that, you know, is at the wheel there and tells us where to go and when to go and what to do and how to look and what to say and all these essential things. But without him, we could do nothing. It's all of him. And, you know, if there's anything that we do because of him, the glory goes to him, because, indeed, it's because of him. And then he says in verse 6, if a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I'll tell you what, this is, you know, talking about a lost connection. oh, somebody that maybe had a basic experience with the Lord at one point, but he didn't continue to abide in the vine. He maybe wandered, he or she wandered off and decided, well, I don't really need the Lord, you know, I've got these given abilities and this and that, and, just, I could do that, I can read this book, I can learn this, I can do this, you know. In a way, such an individual not realizing the need to abide in Christ Jesus. And it tells us here very clearly, if that's the situation, if a man does not remain, does not stay, does not reside in the Lord Jesus, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire and they are burned. In other words, it's cut off. It's disconnected. That connection is lost. And what happens to a branch? Or, you know, after a while, if you disconnect it from the tree, from the shrub, from the plant, pretty soon it withers, doesn't it? Gradually, one way or the other, depending on the size. And, you know, if it's, you know, after a while, what happens? Yes, they're gathered. And they're burned. They're cast into the fire and they are burned. Well, Jesus is comparing his people likewise. Either they abide in the vine or otherwise they're going to be disconnected and they're going to be withered, they're going to be gathered, they're going to be burned. Verse 7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, see that word is here constantly, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Now that's a wonderful promise there. If we truly are in Christ and we allow his words to remain in us and stay in us, then we can have confidence in him. He tells us here, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you, which is a wonderful, wonderful promise and something that we can claim. Verse 8 tells us, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Oh, you see, the will of God is that we would be fruitful. Oh, yes, that we would not be barren or unfruitful by any means, but that he would abide in us wonderfully and the fruit would come forth. So he says, herein is my Father glorified. Oh, yes, that brings our Heavenly Father much glory, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Oh, and a wonderful thing. We know that there's no love like the love of God. And we wouldn't even know really what love is except the great love that he showed us, that wonderful agape love that, you know, he so willingly gives without expecting anything in return. There's nothing greater than that. So he talks about it. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye my love. All that need to stay connected to the vine. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. See, that will come as a result. If we are in the Lord Jesus, if we're connected, if his word is deep in us, then we're going to keep his commandments. We're going to keep his word. Well, you know, the things that he has authorized in his word are going to become a part of us. And we're going to loathe the old ways. We're going to loathe sin and all the disgusting things that God hates. You know, we're going to be able to have that mind that was in Christ Jesus, if we abide in the vine. And then he says in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. And that's what being connected to him does. You know, I think one of the greatest, happiest things that we can do is tell somebody about Jesus. You know, I don't know any other satisfaction that's greater than that, when you know you've had that opportunity to talk to somebody about the Lord. And oh, it's so beautiful when you see a response. You know, I just always love that. You know, you just never quite know who or when, you know, but there's a great joy in that, you know, when you share the thing that's dearest to your heart. And you know, particularly if there is somebody that also just seems to grasp it, or, you know, there seems that there's a connection, and, you know, it's a wonderful thing. I believe that's what he's talking about here in verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Oh yeah, just to the brim, you know, that spirit of joy, something deep that comes from the Lord, a joy that the world doesn't give in itself. It's not the happy, frolicking thing just because, you know, you're giggling with the girls, or, you know, jumping rope, or having a party, or, you know, whatever all. But, you know, it's because you're at peace with the Lord. And, you know, you have that kind of contentment, therefore. And, you know, he puts that joy deep within, therefore. And that's his desire, that his joy, the joy that he had for us, you know, that joy that he had on the cross when he saw his seed and it satisfied him, when he knew that what he was doing there on the cross was going to bring forth fruit, that there were going to be people that would rise up and embrace the gospel and accept his promises and go forward. That was the joy that Jesus had deep within, knowing that there would be a people that would follow, that would pursue his ways, that would stand up for that which is right, that would loathe sin and follow in his footsteps and do his will. And that's very precious. You know, it's a wonderful thing, again, that satisfaction when you are working for the Lord and doing his will. It's a wonderful thing. And then he tells again in verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And he says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Of course, that's exactly what Jesus Christ did for us. There on the cross, what was he doing? Oh, yes, we know he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to bear that cup. But he did, because there was a love within him. Oh, and there was a need within us. We were so alienated from God, and we were so without hope, and we so needed a Savior. We so needed to be connected to the vine. And there he was on that cross with that great love for us, that compassion, that great desire to rescue us, to save us, to restore us, to bring us back to God so that we could have a relationship with him and know him as our Lord and Savior. And oh, yes, there he was. Greater love hath no man than this. You can't reach beyond that. That a man laid down his life for his friends. And then he says, ye are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. And, you know, this is quite a telling thing here too, because as he explains in the next verse, henceforth I call ye not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. And there's something I see here. I see that he doesn't want us merely to be servants, a hired one, or somebody that just waits on others, but he wants us to be friends, his friends. And, you know, again, this is talking about a closeness. You know, this is closer than any other relationship that you can imagine, but that is what he desires for us, that we could be connected. And, you know, it's not only that we would be his friends, but he has made us his sons and his daughters. Just going for a moment, of course, keeping my hands back in John, but Galatians, the fourth chapter, verse 4 explains, But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. He's going beyond friendship. He's going to adopt us as his own children. And it explains in verse 6 here, and because ye are sons, and of course daughters, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, what a precious thing. You know, he went so beyond. You know, he knew that he wasn't going to be with those disciples a long time. But, you know, he had a plan, didn't he? Oh, my God, never missed a beat at all. It was all in order. It was all proper. It was all planned. And he wasn't just going to abandon them and leave them there. No, he said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to come unto you. And praise the Lord, what did he do? He sent forth the Spirit of his Son, the same Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, to his children there on the day of Pentecost. Oh, praise the Lord. That Spirit came forth crying, Abba, Father. Oh, you know what? That makes us his children. And that term, even Abba, it's an endearing term. It means daddy. It shows also that closeness of the relationship that Jesus Christ desires for us as his children. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Oh, what a wonderful thing. And then it explains, wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ. You know, not even a son, but there's an inheritance beyond that that he's reserved for his children. I mean, how can you go beyond that? That's the love of Jesus Christ, and that's his desire, that we could be close. Oh, yes, and that we could know him. And, you know, here it explains back in John, the 15th chapter, you know, I'm not just going to call you a servant. No, because a servant doesn't know what his Lord's going to do. But I'm going to call you friends because I want you to know my will. I want you to know what I'm going to do. I want you to know my plans. And he says, for all things that I have heard of my Father, whatsoever he tells me, I want you to know. I have made known unto you. That's a relationship that he has desired for his children. And you know, just going to Matthew 12 here for a moment here, there's an incident here at the very end of this 12th chapter of Matthew, and we look at it here a minute. We know that it explains that Jesus was talking to some people, and as he was talking and ministering to them, behold, his mother and his brethren came about, and they wanted to talk to him, you know, something they wanted to say to him. And so, you know, one tells him, behold, you know, your mother and your brother, they're without, and they want to speak to you. They desire to speak to you. But I'm Jesus must have amazed them with his answer. He answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And then he reached out, he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and he said, behold, my mother and my brethren. And what he explained in verse 50 here, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Oh, praise the Lord, that's the regard that God has for his children. But that's, you know, the expectancy that we would do his will, the things that he has desired for us to do, the things that he has designated for us to do. And therefore, if we do his will, oh my, the same is his brothers, his sisters, his children, you know, his mother, his father. It's all the same to him. We become part of a family of God. Oh, we became born again, his children. And you know, there's no good thing that he would withhold from those that are his own, those that are his children. That's exactly what he says here. In the next verse, he explains, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." And again, we could never thank the Lord enough for this. You know, to think that he would call us out of this world, he would select us. You know, we don't know the reason. All we know is his marvelous grace and mercy, his compassion beyond that which we could ever explain or understand. But he says, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you." He gave us a work to do. He's ordained us to go forth and do his will, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. See, if we're in him, we're going to bring forth fruit. And that your fruit should remain. You know, sometimes fruit kind of disappears. It kind of wilts on us. You know, it kind of decays. It rots at times if, you know, it stands at length. But his desire is that we would go and bring forth fruit, and that fruit should remain. And then he says that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And what a beautiful thing. You know, again, he's given us a, you know, the ability, if we ask in his name, that promise that he would do it. I'll tell you what a wonderful Heavenly Father we have. And, you know, he's so promised. You know, he compared, you know, himself to a natural father. And, you know, he talked about how a natural father, if a son asked him for a loaf of bread, he's not going to give him a stone. And for an egg, he's not going to give him a scorpion. And so he explained that, you know, if, you know, earthly fathers can do good things for their children, how much more would your Heavenly Father give a Holy Ghost to them that ask him? Oh yes, that's his pleasure, that's his will, that's his desire, that we would be filled with his Spirit and bring forth fruit. That's a wonderful thing. That's our Heavenly Father. Amen. So, he tells us that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. And of course, again, that desire that we would bear forth fruit and that fruit would remain. Let's just go here for a moment to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter here. We look at some of these verses here. Probably starting at verse 9 here. "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For no foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." And I'll tell you what, Jesus explained, if anybody tries to go up another way than the Lord Jesus Christ, the same as a thief and a robber. There is no other way. He is the only way, the truth and the light. All of that, and no man cometh to the Father but by him. That's the only way, and you can't lay another foundation. A foundation is in this word. I can't, you know, you're not going to find it in some other book or some other philosopher or any of that. It's only declared in the book of life here. For other foundation, can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Everything has to be built upon his precepts. So here Paul is telling the Corinthians that they need to take heed how they build. First of all, you've got to build on that foundation. There's only one foundation. There's only one way to build. It is on the Lord Christ Jesus. And then he explains, "Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So I'll tell you, after this is over, after this life is over, our works are going to be tried, whether they're in God or rotten man. It's going to be one or the other. God's big balance scale is going to declare it. If our works will stand, if they'll remain, or if they'll be burned. And then he explains here, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. So there, in part, is an explanation to this verse here. But we certainly want to bear fruit. And it would be, you know, very desirable that not only we would bear fruit, but that fruit would remain. Of course, again, making sure that it's built upon that solid foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ, upon his precepts, upon his word, the things that he has declared clearly and definitely. Amen. And then verse 17 says, these things I command you, that you love one another. Again, notice that emphasis here on loving one another. It should be a part of our nature. When the Lord Jesus is in our hearts, that nature, because he loved us and gave so much for us, has shown us what real love is. Therefore, he's given us a love one for another. He explains, though, that love is not always going to be reciprocated. It says in verse 18, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And yes, sometimes, oh my, we're extremely misunderstood in this world. And, you know, sometimes it's hard because you realize you might have to walk this road alone. But Jesus is saying, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. He says in verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Oh, it just depends on what's in the heart. Of course, we don't want to be men pleasers. You know, we can't, you know, be like the politicians who, you know, kind of tone their speech, you know, to their audience, and, you know, might 1 minute say one thing to this crowd and, you know, 1 hour later say something entirely different to another crowd. Just people pleasers, just trying to make themselves look good so that they'll get a vote or have approval. But the Lord doesn't want us to be that. We know that we could be rejected. We know we could be hated. We know that they're not always going to approve of us, because there's something greater within us. Oh yes, James the 4th chapter verse 4 tells us clearly that friendship with the world is enmity with God. And you can't serve two masters. You know, Jesus told us, you know, you're going to love one and hate the other, or hold to one and despise the other. You can't serve God and mammon. It's one or the other. So there needs to be something made in our heart. There needs to be a surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. We realize these things. We realize that, you know, we may have to go this road alone. But Jesus has already walked it for us. And he was despised. He was rejected. Oh, he suffered greatly. Here he was, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there he was, you know, talking to the people, and they didn't even know who he was. And they didn't even always treat him with respect. And in fact, at times they wanted to throw him over the cliff or stone him or whatever, all just to get rid of him. I hated him. That's hatred. He knows what it is. And he's telling us, yeah, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. If they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. And of course, in 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, oh my, we're told that, you know, they're going to think it's strange that you don't run with them, those that once knew you before you knew the Lord, and all at once, here you are, the Lord came into your life, and all at once, your desires change, your pleasures change, and, you know, your whole outlook on life changes, because God has given you something greater. God has given you hope. God has talked to your heart, and all at once, you know, things are different within, but you know, they're not going to see and understand for the most part. In fact, it tells us, 1 Peter, the 4th chapter, wherein, this is verse 4, they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. Huh. Yeah, they might even, yeah, just, you know, talk behind your back and say all kinds of lies. Downright evil, nastiness, who knows? But we know one thing, there's going to be an accounting day, and everybody's going to stand before the Lord. And wow, at that moment, there's nothing greater than having a clear conscience toward God. There's going to be nothing greater than being able to stand before God and know that our conscience is void of offense. There's no negatives coming out of our heart. There's no sin. You know, there's no nastiness. There's no hatred. You know, we've given it all to the Lord. He's taken it. Oh, yes, and yes. We repented. We went down into those waters of baptism. A wonderful verse there in 1 Peter 3 where it talks about the like figure whereunto even baptism doth not also save us. It says, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, that's what it gives us. We go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And that slate, it's not only forgiven, but it's cleared. We have a good conscience toward God. So one day, we still abide in Him. If we remain in Him, we walk with Him, we can hear Him say, well done. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful hope. And that's our goal. That's the only thing we could hope for is that one day, oh yes, there will be nothing, oh, that would separate us from the Lord Jesus at that moment. But so, He warns us that if they persecuted Him, they're going to persecute us. But if they have kept my sayings, then they're going to understand, they're going to see and know, and they're going to keep yours too. And then he says in verse 21, but all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. Oh, that name of Jesus, that name with authority and power, that name that we call upon. Oh, we know there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. We know there's no name like the Lord Jesus. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake. It's because we belong to Jesus, because we are His, and because they know not Him that sent me. They don't see, they don't understand, they don't understand why we don't run with them any longer. But there's something greater that the Lord has given us. And then it's explained in verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. Tell you what, this is telling me that because Jesus came, because Jesus walked this earth, because Jesus overcame, because He not only gave His life for us, but He was resurrected from that grave, because He's ascended into heaven, because He sent back the Holy Ghost. There's no cloak for sin anymore. There's no hiding place. There are no excuses. That blood has been shed, that precious blood of Jesus Christ, that Lamb, that precious Lamb of God, who was pure and holy, who gave His life for us. There's no more cloak for sin because He has paid that price for our sin. Now there's no more covering. Spider the covering that so many people want to put on their lives, you know, all the pretenses and, you know, all the things that people might want to, you know, try to cover up their sin. And we know that those that don't want to be exposed won't come to the light because their deeds are evil. So it tells us in the third chapter of John, you know, there's a refusal to come because they have this pretense, they have this false covering. And it talks about that in Isaiah 30, just to read a few verses here. The first verse of Isaiah 30 says, "Woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me, and they cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin." See, there's a false covering. If they're hiding in sin, they're trying to, you know, cover up their dirty deeds. So there's, you know, a shadow of a covering. It tells about they walked to go down into Egypt and have not asked in my mouth, to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Oh yeah, go into all kinds of other things to try to find advice, to try to find words, and all of this sort of thing, to try to find favor, going to astrology, yeah, horoscopes, and all this sort of thing, trying to find strength in the shadow of Egypt, going to anybody but the Lord, yeah, because their deeds are evil. Says, "Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion." Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord's going to expose all of that. Oh, yes, it's all going to be exposed on the day of His coming. But praise God, He has done such a thing. There is no more cloak for sin. There is no covering at all. And in fact, you know, everything is going to be revealed. You know, we often think about the fourth verse, or the fourth chapter of Hebrews, and the 12th verse, where it talks about the Word of God, and it explains it. It's quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And it's very, very telling. That's what the Word of God does. That's how powerful this Word is. It's going to pierce. It's going to divide. You know, it's a discerner. You know, it's going to pull apart. We're going to be judged by this Word. And that 13th verse in Hebrews 4 explains, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight." It's all going to be clear. It's all clear now. There's no hiding place. There's no cloak for sin. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Oh, it's just as clear as anything. It's naked and opened unto the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. That one that all knees are going to bow before. Oh, yes, and all tongues are going to confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. You know, everything is going to be crystal clear. No ambiguity at all. Clearly manifested. Clearly revealed in the sight of God. So there is no cloak for sin. Nothing at all. And you know, it's so important that we give heed while we now can, before the night is upon us, and that day when no man can work, before we stand before the Lord. You know, Jesus told a parable in Matthew, the 22nd chapter. And of course, you know, He had bidden many to that wedding. And the first part of that story tells us those that were bidden didn't want to come. They made an excuse. And I tell you what, that's not good, but there's a wedding feast that the Lord has invited us to. He's invited us to be partakers of his eternal inheritance. He's invited us to be his children. And so often people make excuses and they make light of it and they go their own way. And you know, they might even despitefully misuse the servants of the Lord God, which happened here in this 22nd chapter of Matthew. And of course, it tells us, well, when the king heard this, he was wroth. He sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city. But I'll tell you what, that wedding was still ready. And those that had been bidden made excuse and would not come. They were not worthy, in other words. But there had to be people there. There had to be those that would come, that would fill up that vacancy. And so he told them to go into the highways, and as many as you'll find there in the highways, bid them to the marriage. So the servants of the king went to the highways, and they gathered whosoever would come, whomsoever they would come. It tells us both good and bad. And so that the wedding was furnished with guests. It had to be complete. It had to be full. All of the remnants had to be there. I believe that's what's going on right now. The Lord is gathering forth his remnant. He's going to come one of these moments. He's going to come in the skies. You know, he's going to come in this world. Oh my, it's going to know its end. But he's calling forth his people at this point. Oh, no matter all kinds of backgrounds, all kinds of kindreds, all kinds of people from many different places, that wedding of the bride, when he comes for his people, his children, when the bridegroom calls for his children, oh, there will be a people, his people, that have made themselves ready. And so it was at this wedding, as it was told here in Matthew 22, it was furnished with guests, both good and bad, it says. But back in there at that time, when they came to the wedding, there was a garment that they were given. They were given a garment that they needed to put on. And for some reason, when the king came to see his guests, he found a man which had refused to put on that garment. He refused it. He refused it. And that king talked to him and said, "Friend, how camest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment?" I'll tell you what, that man didn't have an answer. He didn't have any response at all. It tells us he was speechless. There was nothing he could say. There was no excuse that could come out of his mouth. He had opportunity. They all had opportunity to put on the wedding garment, but for some reason, he had refused it. For some reason, he had neglected to do so. And I'll tell you what, now is the day of salvation. Now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. And, you know, we have opportunity right now to prepare our hearts, to get ready, to do the will of our Father which is in heaven. There's not going to be time for excuses when we stand before God. We're going to need a clear conscience. At that moment, we will have needed to have fulfilled his will for our lives. We'll need to have that wedding garment on. Oh, yes. And what is that wedding garment? Oh, that garment that he gives his people. He clothes us, oh, with that garment of righteousness. Oh, that blood that he shed for us as the precious Lamb of God without spot, without blemish. Oh, he shed that blood for us, that we might be able to put on his righteousness. Our own righteousness would never do it. It's just, you know, as a filthy rag in the sight of God, as an unclean thing. You know, there was nothing we could do of ourselves to inherit eternal life. But he gave us a wedding garment that we could put on. Oh yes, praise the Lord. We can come to the Lord in repentance. We can cry out to him for mercy. And praise the Lord, we can obey his command to be baptized in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can do that. We can obey his command with the promise of receiving the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, yes, we're going to need. Oh, God knows we're going to have a garment on. We stand before God, and you know, he talks about that garment. Oh, yes, that pure and white garment that, oh, his people will be clothed with when, oh, he comes for us there in the 19th chapter of Revelation. If you look at verse 7, Revelation 19, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. That's what we're doing here on this earth. This is why we're here. We're here to make ourselves ready to do the will of our Father, which is in heaven. These are preparatory moments. And we've got to thank God for each and every one that he has given us. But that moment will come when it's the marriage of the Lamb is come. And you know, those that are ready will go in to meet the bridegroom. As the story is told in Matthew 25, his wife hath made herself ready. Those lamps are trimmed and burning. That oil has not gone out. It is clear. It is full. It is ready to go in and meet the bridegroom. And it tells us in verse 8, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. Oh, yes. Oh, that garment that he gives us because we've been washed in his blood and redeemed from the foundation of this world. We've been set free from sin. And, you know, we no longer walk in the old way, but we have become new creatures in Christ. And praise the Lord. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Praise the Lord, we're clothed upon with that garment, oh, that fine linen garment of righteousness that he puts on his children. And as that chapter continues in Revelation 19, oh, as John was seeing it, and what a revelation it must have been. I know when Pastor David Meyer, when he had that, you know, that vision there in Spokane, Washington, when we were baptizing those people and the heavens opened, he could see God on his throne. It must have been a little like that. You know, and here it says, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Here the King of Kings is coming back. Here he's coming back, the Lord of Lords, he's coming back. First time he came to seek and to save. This time he's coming to judge and make war. Oh yes, it describes him. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Oh yes, he paid that price for us. His vesture, his clothing is dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. Oh, that's our Savior. That's what John saw. And then he saw the armies that were with him. Oh, yes, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Oh, yes, here they come. Here he comes, oh yes, with that sharp sword, the Word of God coming out of his mouth. He's ready to smite the nations, to rule over them with a rod of iron, to tread the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Yes, it's judgment time. He had on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Oh yes, it's going to be over. He's coming to judge. It's going to be a quick end of all of this. Oh, yes. Oh my. Once the heavens are going to pass away with a great noise, All the elements are going to melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and all the works that are therein are going to vanish away. Oh, they're going to be consumed. They're going to be no more. And I'll tell you what, everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. That moment, everything that's not established in the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be shaken, as it tells us in Hebrews, the 12th chapter. A declaration that God, he's not only going to shake the earth, but also the heavens. And verse 27 says, "And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receive in a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire." He's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's coming back to judge. And everything that isn't in Christ is going to be shaken. Oh yes, it's going to be over. It's going to be dissolved. It's going to be melted. It's going to vanish. It's going to be burned. There's going to be nothing left, only the things that were wrought in Christ. That is all that is going to matter at that point. That's all that's going to remain. Yes, the things that we do for Christ. Oh yes, the works that we build upon the foundation that remain. That's what's going to matter at that moment. And certainly, there's going to be no cloak for sin. There's going to be no excuse. But everything is going to be naked and open in the eyes of Him of whom we have to do. Oh yes, very clear at that point. It tells us in John 15, verse 23, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also." Oh yeah, they thought they were children of Abraham. They thought they were children of God. But if they didn't recognize and acknowledge Jesus Christ, it wasn't true. It wasn't true. And he explains, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did." Oh yes, they said, no other man ever spoke like this. Oh, no other man did the miracles that Jesus Christ did. Nobody else spoke with the authority that he spoke with. It says, "If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father." It's been exposed, it's been opened. There's no excuses, there's no cloak for their sin. "But this cometh to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They are from Psalm 69. But then he instructs us, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning." Oh yes, he was going to be in his people. And he was going to make us witnesses. He was going to show us things to come. Just as he told us in the 14th chapter of John, verse 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever." There's that word, that he might stay with you forever, remain with you forever. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him." But praise the Lord, those that he has chosen, those that are called out. "But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Yes, he was foretelling of the gift of the Holy Ghost that he was going to send forth. He knew that his days were limited and that he would only have so much time to be with them, but he wasn't going to leave them comfortless. As he says in the next verse, "I will come to you." He was going to come back to them. Oh, this time, oh, not in a manifestation that they could see with their eyes, but with his Spirit. Oh yes, so that still small voice would speak to their soul, to their heart. Oh, they would see, they would hear, they would know, oh, that he was with them and those instructions that they needed, those teachings that they needed, oh, it would all come to them. Explains in verse 26 here in John 14, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance." That's why, he wanted us to have that personal relationship with him. He wanted to abide in us in such a way that we could hear his still small voice as he speaks to us, our souls. We could hear that voice saying, "This is the way, walk ye in it when you go to the right hand. And when you go to the left," that we would know, that we would be instructed so we wouldn't have to live in ignorance. And that promise, oh, he would send that Comforter. Oh, yes, he's not going to leave us comfortless, but he's going to come to us. That Spirit of truth the Father would send in his name. He's going to teach us all things and bring all things to our remembrance. Whatsoever Jesus had said all at once, the things that they couldn't understand previously would be clear in their minds. And all at once, the revelations that they needed to know would come to them as they would allow the Lord to work in their lives, to lead and to guide them. Of course, that Spirit of truth. Oh, yes, that would lead and guide them into all truth. Oh, yes, that Spirit that would give them that overcoming strength to live above sin, to live above reproach, to do the will of the Father which is in heaven, our Father which is in heaven. Oh, praise the Lord. He made provision for us. Yes, what a wonderful plan. Oh, he was going to send the Comforter. It would come from the Father, that Spirit that was in Jesus Christ, to be put into our very being. Oh, so that we could see, that we could understand, so that we could abide with him and he in us. Oh, so that we could do the things that he did. As he said also in John 14, he said, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." We were going to complete the work that Jesus began on this earth. Oh, the signs and wonders that shall follow them that believe. I praise the Lord. He gave us that ability because he is in us. He pours out of his Spirit. He is in us. And he abides in us. And we in him. And praise the Lord, if we will do that, we will bear fruit. He promised that we would bear fruit because we will go forth in his name. We will do his will. We will stand up against the attacks of the enemy. We will stand up against sin. We will stand up against the darkness and do the works of our Heavenly Father, which is in heaven. What a beautiful thing it is. As I had read there in Galatians, the fourth chapter again, just repeating that a minute. The beautiful plan of God, when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. It is beautiful. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." So we might have that close relationship with him. He would be our Heavenly Father. He would be our Daddy. And no more are we servants, but sons. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. What a beautiful thing. That's the provisions that he has made for his children. Oh yes, we are his friends if we do whatsoever he hath commanded us. And henceforth, I'm not going to call you servants anymore, but I'm going to call you friends. You're going to be my sons and daughters. You're going to be my very own. And the things that I hear, my Father, I'm going to tell you. We're going to have that closeness if you just abide in me and I in you. And we know there's no other way except we abide in the vine and he in us. We would be cast off. We'd be burnt up. We'd be consumed. For without him, we could do nothing. Well, we know that. But praise the Lord, what a privilege, what a gift he has given us as we do abide in him and keep his commandments and do his will. What a wonderful thing. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Can we thank the Lord here tonight? Oh, Heavenly Father. Oh, Heavenly Father. We just thank you again for the wonderful gifts of your Spirit, O Lord. Oh, Lord, the things that you've given unto us as mortal beings, Lord. Oh, your plan, your purpose, and all your redeeming. Oh, Lord, that you did on our behalf, Lord. Oh, God, the undertaking that you took for us, O Lord, that we might, O Lord, be your sons and daughters. Oh, Lord, we thank you, God. Oh, God, help us, Lord, to abide in you. Help us to bear fruit. Oh, God, give us, oh, Lord, that ability. Lord, I pray, oh, Lord, that you speak to hearts tonight. And if there's someone here who has not yet yielded their heart to thee, I pray, oh, God, that you would talk to them strongly, Lord. I pray, oh, Lord, that that moment would come, Lord. Oh, God, oh, Lord. For we only have fleeting moments of time to prepare, Lord. I know the bride hath made herself ready. I pray, O Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, that we might be clothed upon with thy garment, O Lord, with thy righteousness. And, O Lord, be able to stand before thee, Lord, and hear thee say, well done. O Lord, speak mightily, Lord. Talk, Lord Jesus. And I pray, O Lord, that there would be responses, Lord. O God, that you'd talk to hearts, Lord. And I pray, O God, that you'd help us all to get ourselves ready, O Lord, for that great and terrible day of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, God. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Praise the Lord. Well, in closing tonight, we're going to sing number 327 in the hymnal. There's a great day coming, number 327.
Coming by and by, when the
Are you ready?
Thank you.